Jerry Bader Show 936. Just before the news there, we played the answer of Jay Carney responding to a question. Well, you're willing to admit now that when Governor Romney called Russia the greatest geopolitical threat, that he was right? Well, no. And then he went on this rambling, incomprehensible answer that never really did answer the question. This is a follow-up to a topic we did yesterday. What does Obamacare prove? The disaster that it is. The conservatives are right. What does Russia prove? Mitt Romney was right. What does the current state of Iraq prove? Mitt Romney was right. If you go back in history, positions that Republicans took that they either were not in a position to follow through on or they didn't follow through on when they were given the opportunity, which sadly has happened far too often. They were right. I mean, whatever the law was, you could argue that Reagan was right in the whole Iran-Contra in Central America. And look at the way that's gone. As I said yesterday, that's how I became a conservative. You start looking around, it's like, well, I'm wrong about everything. None of the things come to fruition. Minimum wage. There's another study out that shows how many jobs it would cost here in Wisconsin. It would cost 500,000 nationally. We're right. All of these things show we're right. You can quantify these things. Now, in terms of, again, and Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times piece that I read a little earlier, well, it's not because the president showed weakness. Really? The Cuban Missile Crisis happened because the American president showed weakness. And then he points to 1956, 1968, the other Russian incursions. Well, that's not because Eisenhower was weak. Actually, that's not true. Khrushchev knew he wasn't going to do anything. Brezhnev in 68 knew Johnson wasn't going to do anything. We weren't going to engage Russia over these things. But it's interesting that Kristof compares these to Cold War episodes. What Romney was saying is, Russia's not our friend. They're not. With the fall of the Soviet Union, we just wanted to assume they were going to become this democratic, representative, public ally. They're not. They are a threat to Europe. And a liberal relative who listens didn't understand my point yesterday. How many people understand the NATO treaty? How many people understand what North Atlantic Treaty Organization? Do you know why it was formed? To have a solidified bloc against the Soviet Union. The key element of NATO is if one NATO member is attacked, it is seen as an attack on all NATO members. So if any country, NATO country in Western Europe is attacked, it's as if the United States was attacked. If you understand that, how can you not see Russia as a serious national security threat now, or at least geopolitical threat, to the United States? And I think, in fact, to the terms that organized al-Qaeda has been diminished, not evaporated, but diminished, a 911 level attack on our soil, I think, is probably at best the same or maybe slightly less threat than the geopolitical threat Russia now faces. And again, remember, it wouldn't have to be on our soil. Why do you think Putin desperately did not want Ukraine to join NATO? It wasn't about the European Union. He didn't want Ukraine in NATO. Where do you think we'd be right now if Ukraine was NATO? He wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have done it. That's why he was fighting Ukraine's pull to the West. It's amazing how many people don't understand that. To keep the Soviet Union in check, NATO was designed, look, you hit France, you're hitting the United States. You hit Britain, you're hitting the United States. You hit any NATO member, and you are hitting the United States. What were the strongest words JFK used during the Cuban Missile Crisis speech? Any use of Soviet missiles launched from Cuba on any Western Hemisphere nation will be seen as an attack on the United States and draw a full retaliatory response. That was designed to scare the hell out of the Russians, out of the Soviets. You hit any Western Hemisphere country, and you have launched a missile at the United States of America. And he was clear to use, will result in a full retaliatory response. You are going to start World War III. You use one missile, and you're going to start World War III. It is amazing to me the naivete that exists today. There's one other thought on this before I move on. A lot of people are comparing what Putin's doing to what Hitler did. The annexation, the aggression, and you know, the tension yesterday that there's going to be a referendum that's not going to be recognized by the free world as to whether Crimea should essentially realign with Russia. And yeah, this does look a lot like what Hitler did. And here's the bigger issue. Is he going to stop with Ukraine? Is Putin going to stop with Ukraine? We thought Hitler was going to stop, right? Neville Chamberlain, with this paper, I give you peace in our time, because Hitler promises. Hell, Putin's not even promising. You can give him credit for intellectual honesty. He's not pretending this is limited in any way, shape, or form. All right, spent a lot of time on that recently, so I will move on to other things. But it is really rather stunning that people don't understand that we're drifting back into the Cold War. I want to somewhat digress from the pressing global issues of the day to a story that we've taken up only once. The Darren Sharper story is getting more and more interesting. The allegations are now that there are witnesses who say Sharper said that the sex with these women that he's accused of drugging, and what's the other guy's name, Nunez, that they basically said, yeah, this was against their will, that we drugged them and had sex with them, and he's now apparently going to face charges in New Orleans, which would be the second city. He was taken into custody after it became clear that New Orleans police were going to, that basically is going to be charged. Here's what's interesting about the New Orleans charge. Because there's another man involved, it would be aggravated sexual assault, and Eric Nunez, 26, also charged with aggravated rape in the New Orleans incident, which apparently happened in an apartment in late September 2013. This could draw life in prison if he is convicted of that. I believe the evidence is very strong that Darren Sharper is guilty. And I know a lot of you, well, innocent until proven guilty. In a court of law, yes. In the court of opinion, no. I'm going to ask the question I asked about this case previously. When did this start? Because if he's guilty, and I will continue to say if he's guilty, but if it's as bad as it looks, when did he start doing this? And if he is guilty, which I'm going to be honest, I believe he is, what does it say about him? A guy that seemingly top of the football world, good-looking guy, and let's just be honest, you would think he could get pretty much all the women he wanted without using drugs. Or was he getting all the women he wanted, and that went away when he left football? I don't know. But now the report that there's a witness that says Sharper admitted that these women were drugged and had sex against their will. It's just an amazing story. And you just wonder, and I'm not saying he did, you wonder if he displayed any of this. I don't know if I would call, he was playing football. That's why it's in the news. He's in court today because he's trying to get out of a Los Angeles jail where they want to hold him until they figure out if he's going to be extradited to New Orleans. There may, by the way, one final thought on this. There might be a tinkling match between L.A. and New Orleans. Those things do happen because L.A. might be afraid they'll never get him back. Here's always my thought on that. Who cares? If he gets sentenced to 30, 40, 50, or life in prison, why does Los Angeles care? Why don't law enforcement agencies work together on that? Whose charges are stronger? Who has the better chance of a conviction? And besides, then the other one could always take him. If they screw it up in New Orleans and he's found not guilty, then you proceed in L.A. If they're successful in New Orleans, you can always pile on. I don't really understand that. One other story that is generating a lot of interest. Of course, the big conservative convention, CPAC, is going on right now. And various Republican speakers are firing up the crowd. Get rid of the IRS. Paul Ryan saying, no, there's really not a big division among, in the conservative tent. There's healthy debate, with which I would largely agree. But the surprising moment, the reception and reaction that Chris Christie got. Chris Christie is one of the more interesting political stories in a long time. He was seen as the moderate, the big tent Republican that could win the White House. Well, the conservative base had a real problem with him. They felt, he was too moderate, but bordering on liberal. Then when he stepped into scandal, he found out that even if you're a moderate Republican, the media will turn on you in a dime. And he was suddenly a man without a country. MSNBC was attacking him. Mark Levin was attacking him. We're certainly not defending him. The national conservative shows weren't defending. He had nobody. I have referred to it as the Chris Christie syndrome because Tom Petri in Wisconsin is somewhat suffering from it. Well, he goes to CPAC, and he lights him up. He says the right things. He trashes President Obama. It was the old fire-breathing Chris Christie. He hasn't given up. And that, remember, one of the people involved in Bridgegate said they had a smoking gun. That really hasn't come to pass. If they never connect the dots that Christie knew, I think he survives this. And that is a change in position for me. I thought he was pretty much dead in the water. I am less sure of that now. But a lot of observers were very surprised at the strong performance he gave and the strong reaction that he got at CPAC. So it's going to be very interesting to see. In the next hour, from CPAC to CCAP, we do intend to talk with Senator Glenn Grothman. Why are Republicans on board with Democrats and limiting what you can see on the Wisconsin Circuit Court Access website? It is 9:50.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.